Dr. Sierralta, my name is Donald Horowitz. I'm a judge from Seattle, Washington. And I'll be doing the second part of the interview. And it may be I'll jump around a little bit because there were some questions that raised some other questions.
And the first job you went to before the UN, you were the American Red Cross,
I think, which is the increase of irritability among people.
The Russian Red Cross.
One of the people
and where was that?
About that as well. I'm not a psychologist, okay. But somebody who works.
And what kind of practice was that?
In the system here. And then that person said,
okay, from
the worst part is when I stopped being irritable and I went, no. And I guess I'd like to ask you about that, your observation of that issue, if there is one.
I was saying because of the additional pressure.
Yeah.
And now the additional pressure is of uncertainty. People don't know. My contract is going to end in December. It's going to end in January. It's going to end. Do I need to send my kids to school here or do I need to send them back home? And the tension increased. Yeah?
And after
the
that,
general tension increased.
What was the next
job? So the tolerance decreased. So reactions are different. Some people might become irritable.
ICRB.
Some people might become a little bit more aggressive. Yeah. Some people might become indifferent.
Okay. Yeah, because the acronyms. Don't
less motivated.
Anything. Okay.
Careless.
And how long had you worked with the Red Cross before you went?
Some
to
people might become sick more often because of the tension.
Okay. Yeah.
This person was talking about listening over time because of her job.
You
and the descriptions of the acts that were committed. And she said at a certain point she just couldn't feel anymore. And that
that's okay.
Even more worried.
Something about it was about refugees. And where were you located during that?
Yeah, there is a point. Okay. I think. We do all have a capacity to absorb certain information and to process, because it's not only the information that goes in, but the processing. And I believe because it's like in a sponge,
okay.
So there is a limit
there a year and a half,
that you can of water that you can put inside.
Okay.
And so probably I believe that the person was just reached the limit. Might be
okay,
also
Democratic Republic
might probably
Congo.
The person was
and you're working
also
for the UN then or
out also okay. That yeah
and you said that this
anymore.
Was sort of a crisis so, management
well,
job
this brings
of
us
some
to
sort
some
of
other experiences
I may have not stated
some,
that correctly.
Yeah, I guess the word might be interesting but some difficult places before I want to but before that you mentioned being in school with them and you graduated in what was probably then was it the Soviet Union then or
it was the Soviet Union yeah at that time
when did you graduate
I graduated in 1994
okay.
In end of May 1994 and the genocide started in April 6 so just before the graduation and the final exams
And you had this Rwandese person who was your roommate.
Emergencies.
Yeah, and until now we do communicate. Yeah, so we keep. He's also a psychologist because we graduated from the same university, the same faculty.
And where is he practicing?
He's practicing in Denmark.
Was there violence?
And
I don't mean
Denmark.
Just civilian violence, but also
no, in a hospital.
Military violence
going on
at that
yeah.
time. That affected
so
your staff.
Part of your education was during the years of the Soviet Union, and part was past when the Russian Federation came.
It was a big collapse. Also, sometimes it was a big collapse of this belief system.
Yes.
So there was also a huge increase on cardiovascular problems and diseases when the Soviet Union collapsed because of the. Yeah, the change happened so in a very short time and unexpected.
And the first job you went to for before the UN, you were with the American Red Cross, I think you said.
No, I worked for the Russian Red Cross.
The Russian Red Cross.
Yeah.
And where was that?
In St. Petersburg. This is where, I
lived. And what kind of practice was that?
I was providing psychosocial support to refugees.
From
from different countries, including Rwandese. Also, when the Soviet Union collapsed, there were over 20 million of Russians who were outside the Russian Federation. So we used to get also Russians, who were didn't have any status, and also a lot of refugees also, because Russians used to be, they used Russia as a bridge
and
to
then,
go to the
how
West.
How long were you in Congo?
It was
Congo?
More accessible and easier, and especially when the Soviet Union collapsed, because it was very easy to accept
and then you
to,
went
to go to Russia. So.
And how
after
long were you
that,
in
what was the next job?
Then I joined UNHCR. I was a contractor with UNHCR. Yeah, also working.
UNHCR being?
Tell
us.
UNHCR, the United Nations Agency for Refugees.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, because the acronyms don't.
The acronyms. Okay.
And how long had you worked with the Red Cross before you went to?
And where were you in Pakistan?
It was about 1 year and a half. Yeah, and then
where the earthquake I was.
2 years with
near what town?
UNHCR, United Nations, and how is United Nations? Yeah,
and
I don't remember well
okay,
now.
That's okay.
Describe
sorry,
what you the work you provided.
And where were you located?
In Russia, in St. Petersburg, also. Yeah.
Okay. And.
That was an implement. So what happened? That the Red Cross was looking after this refugee center. That was so the Red Cross was an implementing partner for the UN agency. So then, I moved to the. Yeah.
Okay. And you worked there a year and a half. So.
There, I also worked about a year and a half. Yeah.
Okay. And then where?
And then I moved to DRC, to Congo Kinshasa.
Okay, to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And you were working for the UN then?
Yeah, for the UN also there.
And you said that this was sort of a crisis management job of some sort. I may have not stated that correctly.
Yeah, it's a huge mission. Mm-hmm. It's a huge mission with a lot of military, peacekeepers, and a lot of civilians. So we used to manage the well-being of all the staff.
Is that true the whole 3 years you were in Afghanistan?
Because the military, they used to have their own team, their own medical doctors, and sometimes they will have even a counselor there, a mental health. But they are trying that, depending on the country, some of them will have, some of them will not have.
So that's what you've just described.
So we used to provide counseling services,
on your
but
regular
also
duty,
there were
if
many
you will,
emergencies
in Afghanistan.
So,
what kind of work did you do?
Looting. We have emergencies. A lot of looting to UN guest houses, robberies.
And was there violence? And I don't mean just civilian violence, but also military violence going on at that time.
Was
that
a military?
Affected your staff?
Where there was a military violence, also. There was many of our peacekeepers also they witnessed atrocities, and there was a time, the UN operates on different chapters.
Yes.
So, there was a time when our troops they could not enforce, they could not provide the real support. The real military support that they are training. Mm-hmm. A military is trained to act, not to observe. And that creates a lot of tension on military who are working in peacekeeping operations when they are not able to act, to react. So it happened in Congo that many of our military, they witness atrocities, very similar to what happened in Rwanda. I would say very similar. Mm-hmm. And they could not do anything. Because the UN operates on this Chapter 6, Chapter 7. So at that time it was the Chapter 6. So on the Chapter 6 you observe and you use your weapon only on the self-defense. But,
and you were, after and that 3 years, is that when you came to?
I was there 24 months. So almost completed 2 years, 10 days before 2 years.
And then you went where?
I went to Afghanistan.
And how long were you in Afghanistan?
A little bit more than 3 years. Okay. So and while I was in Afghanistan, we have the earthquake in Pakistan.
Yes.
And also a couple of incidents. So while I was in Afghanistan, I was also requested to go to Pakistan to provide assistance also after the earthquake in Pakistan.
And where were you in Pakistan?
I traveled to different areas, to different
near where the earthquake was?
Yeah, or to all the affected areas of the earthquake. Okay. Yeah, so.
So near what town that would?
Muzaffarabad, Mansehra, Bagh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And describe the work you provided.
Our job was more of a psychological assessment. Yeah, the needs assessment. Because what happened after a critical incident, a huge critical incident, the UN sent a lot of staff. So we go there to assess, to make an assessment, okay, what might be the needs, how many counselors we need to deploy. If it's in a catastrophe that will involve thousands of UN staff, so we need to assess, okay, how many people will. And our job is just to make an assessment and to make recommendations, because then later on, normally what the unit, which is in New York, what they do is they hire local.
Okay.
Yeah. So they try to find local resources. So to put in place a support system.
And was that true the whole 3 years you were in Afghanistan? Or?
No. It was there. The whole 3 years. 37 months I was in Afghanistan. So I traveled to Pakistan on. Three
okay,
times, yeah.
Right.
So it was.
So that's what you've just described.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you were on your regular duty, if you will, in Afghanistan, what kind of work did you do?
Oh, we used to do a lot of emergency, because there used to be a lot of explosion. There was a kidnapping of national staff also, mm-hmm. and a lot of threats. So threats has been increased. And the intensity of the threats, so people used to, our staff, they just live in a compound, so it's a lot of isolation also, problems that people live alone, so we do support them also with this long distance family relationship, we provide sessions on alcohol abuse and during the crisis, when I say crisis, is an attack to a convoy,
okay.
You know, riots is something that is difficult to describe. You have thousands of people, around you, throwing stones, burning your house. So we have riots also. We have a lot of collateral damage. Collateral damage is when the UN is not a target, but because you are next or you are close. Yeah, because the target are normally the army, but if your vehicle is next to that vehicle, or if they miss the target, then you might be a target of opportunity. This is what they call target. Yeah.
Okay. And you after that 3 years, is that when you came to?
I came here. Yeah.